We'll make
the big sale.
We'll make a start. Yeah. Trish, you finished? You alright?
Yeah.
Hola. Hello, welcome to the Mac Show. Yes, we're here to discuss all the big shenanigans that have gone on the week before an Apple keynote-ish, 10 days. So there's loads and loads of rumours, so Doc's going to be over the moon. We're going to start with rumours for iPhone 9, which surfaced this week. And I've got to say, I mean, Doc gets a little bit upset, and we all take the piss out of him for getting upset, but he's on the money here. I'm sorry, we're not doing iPhone 9 rumours for at least another year, okay? At least another year.
Good.
Joining me to discuss the week in Apple news... What a panel. Look at this stuff. It's brimming with people. We've got more people than normal. Start us off top left.
Double Patrice.
Double Patrice? Oh, yeah. Double Patrice up. And I've left off Sandy. I do apologise, Steve.
The man so nice.
Oh, that's not a problem. It's not a problem.
I think, God, Steve, Sandy looks young.
For once.
Doc, where you been, man?
Bro, I've been super busy, and I couldn't wait to get back to the Patrice Gattaca show, where there's like clones of Patrice running around. No, I've just been super, super busy, man. It's wedding season, and I have to do the priest and the MC, dearly beloved type stuff.
Mate, so I just can't get through my head how you start talking about a life of celibacy and well and good behavior, and then people take you seriously. It's just amazing.
Nah, so it turns out that not all weddings are done in the, you know, sort of faith denomination. So they get me just so they can say that they were married by a pseudo-celebritant.
Really?
Yeah, class F celebrity. But I've been radio and TV here for over 20 years, so and I think some people are dumb enough to want me to marry them for that reason.
So you get to marry them, and then do you sign boobs and bums and stuff like that? No?
No, I just sign the wedding certificate and then I go to the bar.
And get paid.
Yeah.
Gotta get paid. Next to him, Adam, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fine.
Excellent, mate. Have you had a good week?
I had a good week. that's a loaded question. And there's lots to talk about there. I have not had a great week at that around the house, but personally, yeah.
I did send you a message, which you haven't replied to in Slack, so you can reply to that.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, there's that. Yeah, we don't need to get to that. But then on top of that, I had a toilet flood my bathroom and a dryer that went dead.
Was it a toilet full?
And a pool pump that leaks.
Oh, nice. Was it a toilet full of defecant or was it...
No. Luckily, it was just water.
Before you all write in, I know defecant's not a word, so bugger off. next to him, Patrice, on a holiday, a bridging week.
Yeah, I mean, one of those, I mean, I think we talked about that,
but what are you bridging?
In other words, a Thursday.
Thursday in Germany in May, yeah, pretty much.
A Thursday in Germany in May is a bridging day. What are you bridging? Because are you going to work tomorrow? Because tomorrow's Friday.
Friday is the bridging day. So today is Ascension Day, and then, I mean, tomorrow is bridging day because a lot of people simply take tomorrow off, like me, and basically bridge the gap between the holiday and the weekend.
Yeah, of course. Why not?
Sure.
And you've got Monday off, no doubt?
No, sadly not. I have to be back in the office on Monday.
Oh, can't you get Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to bridge you through to next Thursday?
I actually could, yeah.
No,
I'm not going to do that. I mean, the Bash is coming up, so...
Oh, yes. Bash is coming up. Good point. Bash is coming up on the 1st of July. I could have picked a better weekend, it would seem, because there seems to be an awful lot of dance competitions for 11-year-olds that weekend. But we've got a lot of people coming. We've got plenty of people coming. Thanks to those people who've bothered to buy the tickets ahead of time. There's still tickets available, of course, because we're not packed at the seams this month like we were last year. So please get your Bash tickets, britishtechnetwork.com/bash tickets, if you'd like to come. It should be a great time. We've got loads and loads of fun happening this year. We've got a few new games as well, which are awesome.
Nice.
Beneath him, Steve Sandy. How you doing, bud?
I am doing quite fine, thank you very much. And we got over our snow last Thursday and Friday, and it all melted. Life is good. Life is good. I now have a CarPlay compatible car. Finally, yay!
Nice. Okay, and has it changed your life?
No. No, actually, I haven't taken it out of the garage since I got it home. So I got to go out and drive it today, and you know, get everything else set up there. But yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Clean the roads for you.
Well,
in Colorado still snow.
Yeah.
Well, believe it or not, we have this one road that's up in one of the national parks, Rocky Mountain National Park. They call it Trail Ridge Road. And it's a lot of it is about 13,000-14,000 feet, and then you go down the other side. It's beautiful views. And normally they try opening it by Memorial Day. This year they can't. It's not going to be a good thing.
So you're way up. What elevation are you? Like 6,000 feet or something, or?
Almost 6,000 right here.
I'm impressed myself there. I just picked that figure out of the air. I don't know why I said, I thought New Mexico was 6,000 feet as well, actually, which it might be in places.
A lot of it is, yeah.
And Steve, you're supposed to say 1.8 kilometers.
1.8 kilometers. There we go.
Okay, fair enough. I didn't know that either. Have you noticed, Steve's got this thing where he's got these, got the Apple AirPods on, look, which are working just fine for him. Doc, you did have them on.
I just switched it off because all of a sudden you guys went, you know, cartoon when they fast forward and it's like, and I didn't know what happened. So I just switched them off for a second and switched them back to, because I'd rather wear them because it's just more comfortable.
Because I used them the other week on Cord Killers with Tom Merritt and Brian Brushwood. But I put them in my ear molds and I had them pointing upwards instead, so they look like a set of antenna. Everyone looks like they've got those bone earrings stuffed through their ears now when they go on podcasts. So it's a spreading menace. And last but my name is Lee's Brett.
Hey.
How's it going, my yoga brother?
It's good.
I'm your fat yoga brother.
It's
not
snowing in Minnesota.
Yeah, now how long has it not been snowing in Minnesota? 2 months?
Yeah, we haven't seen snow since March, maybe.
Yeah.
So global warming.
So it should be. Absolutely.
Yeah, except it's freezing here, so explain that.
Dude, someone left a flyer under my windshield wiper yesterday that was judging me for leaving my dog in the car on a 59 degree overcast day. 59 degree Fahrenheit, which is not hot.
And it was completely
that
anonymous.
Upset me. Anonymous, quiet judgment of my condemnation of my behavior.
Yeah. Gone around and
they should at least leave a phone number or something so you can call them back and call the names.
Leave a phone number so I can call and explain to them that they're not smart.
People are still saying that Steve's echoing, and this is what pisses me off about this entire system, is I just put it back together the way it was last week, and for some reason, it all...
It's the AirPods.
It could be.
I took them off. I took them off.
We would be hearing the echo, too.
If you're listening to this podcast and there is an audio issue, I apologize sincerely, but it is the same as every other week, so why are you complaining? It's our modus operandi. The weekend.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks,
what's
Paul.
What's going on? Before we get going, you should be excited because a little bit later we've got a competition coming up. You could win one of three Spider 5s that we're going to give away. Spider 5 Express screen calibrators. We've got three of these to give away over the next 3 months. So we got one this month for the next 4 weeks. Where you can buy a Spider 5, or get a Spider 5 from us. I've got one of these that they gave me for reviewing it. So has Ian Lewis. Ian's written a review on it. And I've got the Elite version, the Pro one. And I'd like a review on it, but I still haven't worked out how to use all of it yet. Some of it I've got to keep... It's like trying to go through Wikipedia to try and find out what it does. I'm like, oh, that's what it does. I knew that, but it was a different name when I was young. Please join us a bit later. You've got to answer a simple question and you might win a Spider 5 Express color calibrator. Now, if you're into your photography, you've got to calibrate your screens. So, The Fantasy Football League is still going as well, by the way, if you want to join in on that. There's no problem with that at all. Just send us an email to britishcentnetwork@gmail.com. You've got another week to get in your images of Edge, which is this month's topic. And then we'll
don't remind me.
Next month. You've still got to do Edge, have you?
Ugh. I have no idea what I'm going to do. There may not be one for me
Patrice
this month.
Has still got to do his. I haven't got one from Brett or from Steve, and Doc hasn't entered yet.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, right. So
I'm waiting until next month.
That's
or
why
next
you don't
month.
Have anything from me.
The Fantasy Photo League is basically, there's a group of us. I think we're about 40 now. Everyone who's in the Slack room, we'll give you an invitation to the Slack room in a bit. I set a topic every month that they have to follow, a brief, if you will. And they have to shoot an image and then send it in. Then everyone gets a copy of all of the images and they're all allowed to vote for three times for another image, not their own. But they don't know who they're voting for. So it's a completely anonymous competition. And then all of those are added up. I give some votes as well as, and then I write some comments about how you can improve each of the images and send it back to people, and then people improve. And the improvement has been massive. It has absolutely been phenomenal how quickly people have gone from shooting some fairly mediocre stuff in January up to last month. It was so difficult, last month's competition. There was a lot of really good images in there. And people are thinking about the brief and coming up with things that are a little bit off the wall. And it's good. And this month is Edge, E-D-G-E. So you've got to take a picture of anything to do with or what you can show describes the word Edge.
Can it just be a screenshot when your phone has like 1X?
It could be. It could be up to you. It could be up to you. But you've got to follow the brief. You can't just take a nice picture.
When you invite me to said chat room, Slack room, I'm sure I'll be able to understand exactly what you're talking about. You never even let me in there.
I'll send you an invite. While we do the first story, I will send you an invite. But in there as well, there's also a link in the photo showroom that will let you go back and it'll show you all the old images and all the comments I've made to help improve the images. And you'll see the progression. You'll learn from what other people have got wrong, if you like, in the last 4 months.
It'll make sense then, I'm
but
sure.
The standard is brilliant. The standard is really, really good at the moment. It's awesome. First story. Steve allegedly celebrates Global Accessibility Awareness Day with a Stevie Wonder concert.
You mean Tim?
Tim even. Steve. Yeah, Jesus Christ. I go into Stevie Wonder bit. That's the thing that threw me. I can dub it. Don't worry. That's this. I don't like, because this is like we're celebrating Global Accessibility Awareness Day, and it's not. It's just we're such a rich company. We can have a private concert from Stevie Wonder and gear everyone the afternoon off. You bastards.
So?
You bastards, though. It's just rubbing everyone else's noses in it.
Wouldn't you if you had billions of dollars?
Yes, of course I would.
Yeah, but they didn't do it at Apple Park, so who cares, right? Who cares, right?
That's just so bad.
That's it. They have access to that. That's accessibility.
Yeah, but no one else would go. That's the thing. On Global Accessibility Day, they had a closed concert that no fudger could go to.
So what would you prefer?
The only person
a worldwide Stevie Wonder
concert. Should have broadcast that. They should have broadcast that shit on Apple TV.
That would make sense.
Because the only person who wasn't invited to that was Stevie Wonder, effectively. They probably sent the Apple car there to drive him there, didn't they?
Probably, yes.
And he
actually, that's flipped. The only person that was invited was Stevie. The rest of those people worked there, so they were there anyway.
Yeah, no, but you know what I mean.
They didn't have any choice.
Yeah.
They still wouldn't let him eat in the canteen, though.
Sure they do. The canteen's open once you're on campus.
And he got out of the car and said to Tim, damn, that driver was quiet. The Apple Watch is pretty shit when it comes to calories and heart rate.
No, just calories.
Just calories, all right, yeah. But it looks like
it's really good when it comes to heart rate.
It looks like it's the best of the shit.
It's the shit that Surge was.
The Surge was the word. Okay, I never heard of that.
Well, it depends on the category.
Yeah, calories. We're talking calories.
For calories.
Energy expenditure. But they were all garbage anyway. None of them even got close on calories.
I mean, as you can see, I think you and Shrek did in the article as well, I think it was about 30 to even more than like 50% off on calorie. I mean, the Apple Watch and basically everything, every other product as well. And 30%, I mean, that's quite a lot, to be honest. I mean, that's just imagine. I mean, you're doing a workout, 500 calories or 300 calories, and it's off by 100. So it's either 200 or 400 or what is it?
That's really bad.
Yeah.
Well, it depends. If you're Patrice, that's really bad. If you're us, that's really good, because then you end up having to burn 4 to get the 3 that you really needed. So you lose weight faster and you go, damn, this watch is amazing.
But it could be plus or minus.
This came up in the BTN Slack, because there is a health channel, and it was Mark and somebody else, right? They both did the same workout. They have very similar stats in terms of how they are, and it was like double. One person burned twice the number of calories for the same distance, same type of workout.
Yeah.
And you know, basically the same personal stats.
No, this was Camps and Mark Opp from Hoyer.
Mark Opp, yeah.
Yeah, who had to go with it. But the thing that was interesting was that one of the other separations between the two of them is that Camps is on a version 2 and Mark is on a version 1 Apple Watch as well. So
yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, the whole point, if you read that article, all this stuff, because they don't have any sensor to actually, you know, measure calorie burn, it's all algorithm. It's all just based on BMI, weight, the kind of workout you're doing. So they have some sort of algorithm that's supposed to be calculating this thing. So it's the math that's the problem. So the good news is, I mean, if they can figure out better algorithms, they should be able to fix it. The question is why would it be inconsistent with two people that have almost identical stats doing the almost identical workout at the same pace and the same distance?
To be fair, Camps is probably twice as tall as Mark, but
is he?
Yeah, he's
so taller. That may be the difference.
That'll be some of it, but it's not all of it.
It's not twice. I mean, it doesn't make sense that it's twice as much. From the article, one thing I remember is that I think they said that for walking and running, the difference wasn't as big, but for other workouts, it was, I mean, basically garbage.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the other thing that I think is going to throw this off by a lot, and I noticed this just personally, if I'm using something and I'm using, say, my Nike band or my Apple Nylon band, you'll get, you know, sort of different readings versus when you're using, say, like an aftermarket band. And a lot of it has to do with the range of tightnesses and stuff that there are. Mm-hmm. Because there definitely has to be a thing I wear my a little bit loose because I just don't, you know, want to have that stupid mark, you know, around my arm too much. So it's definitely going to throw your stuff off. So, but in the laboratory, when they're testing it, they're probably way more accurate about how the thing sits on a people's arm versus anecdotally testing.
Yeah.
The other thing to remember, I don't think there is a reliable way of really measuring how many calories you're burning.
Right.
Because it's always a guess. There are medical devices where you can, the medical devices are more consistent than the Apple Watch probably is, or the other fitness bands.
Even then it's not particularly accurate because it's dependent on an awful lot of factors, including things like humidity, temperature, rate of cardiovascular rate and that kind of stuff. There's a lot of variables.
It's probably a stupid question, but why does anybody care about calories? Like, why is that important?
If you're trying to lose weight, you care about calories because that's your offset for the food that you're eating, right? So
that's a lot of people
without ever once thinking about a calorie. I don't understand.
True.
Just exercise.
I agree with you. There's a bunch of science that says that you shouldn't count calories. It's one of the most unproductive parts of diet or exercise change.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. At the moment, the big fad in California is high fat diets, isn't it? High fat, low carb diets.
I eat a shit ton of fat.
Yeah.
Fat is necessary, like natural fats. That's the basis of life. Sugar is the problem.
Absolutely, dead right.
I don't want to get.
I mean, I don't go out of my way to eat extra fat, but I don't shy away from bacon and full fat meats and
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Sugars are the issue. So calories is pointless to a certain degree.
Well,
the diets that you go on tell you that it's not. So,
I would generally agree with that. I think the important thing is, too, like this study is just looking at the percentage off. The question I would have is the concern about the inaccuracy. Like in terms of if it's measuring, if it's consistently measuring inaccurate, then at least you have a number that you can track against if you want to track that sort of thing. But if it's just all over the place, like one day it's, you know, 50% too high and the other day it's 50% too low, then you really don't know what's going on, right?
Yeah, that so, makes sense.
Yeah.
That kind of data is useful.
Exactly. And I mean, just anecdotally, I mean, I go for badminton practice once a week. And so far over the last, well, as long as I've had the Apple Watch, both generations, it has been fairly consistent. So it ends up within, I would say, 100 calories each time. And it's every time almost the same workout I do. So
so if you can measure trends, like just, hey, I'm now burning, you know, 10% more calories than I was last week or something like that, then
exactly
that may be useful.
Yeah. But you simply, I mean, what you see also in the health room is you cannot compare it with other people's results.
Right.
We talked far longer there than I thought we would. That's what's thrown me. Intel says that it's going to lose the licensing and eliminate royalties, rather, on Thunderbolt 3 adoption. So it should get, I don't know why they put a story on with with those ports on, but the USB-C.
Because those are the Thunderbolt 3 ports.
Oh, that's a 3-port. Sorry, I thought it was the USB-C port for a minute.
Same thing.
Okay, right. By releasing the protocol specifications to the industry next year under a non-exclusive, royalty-free license. This has got to be a good thing, because I love Thunderbolt. I love my Thunderbolt stuff into my Mac. It's absolutely stunning, and I couldn't do without it, and I don't want to do without it. So the fact that this, the proliferation of this goes a bit higher is nothing but good as far as I see.
Yep.
Okay, that's the end of
Yep.
I thought we were going to talk for ages on
Move
that.
Move on. Move on.
Agreed.
But is that the thing that stopped it, though? Is it purely the licensing that's held up Thunderbolt adoption?
I think so.
Anything that holds back the proliferation of devices is going to stop any kind of new port. FireWire devices, FireWire 800 devices.
I heard the licensing fees were just ridiculous, and it also was always the excuse that we got as to why Thunderbolt's cable were so expensive. One was because of the quote-unquote chip that's in there in order to do the, you know, self-lining up thinking, and the other one was the licensing fees. And, you know, there's people that I know that even in say, like, some of the professional spaces that need Thunderbolt drives that end up buying USB 3 drives just because they don't want to spend all the extra on cabling. And then depending on how your devices are set up, there's always one stupid product that has one port. So that becomes the end of the food chain, and it has to go on the end of the line. It doesn't necessarily work. Oh, God. So, yeah, I definitely think licensing has a lot
to do with it. So the bleeping is back, and that's definitely the chat room notifications on either Adam or Steve. There is no question it's got to be chat room notifications on Adam or Steve.
Chat room for what?
The Slack room. Not the Slack room, the IRC chat room.
It's not that consistent, though. If you're listening to the beeps, it's very erratic.
Yeah, it's more of a rip as well.
Some are longer, some are shorter.
No, it's beep, beep, beep. Three straight beeps.
No, not this time.
No, if there was a
lot what I'm hearing.
I'm hearing like a screech. Like screech.
Yeah,
and sometimes they go stuttered. It's the sometimes Slack they're room, consistent.
It's one of you two buggers.
Not me. Not me. Look, hands up. Hands up. Not doing anything.
It's not, it's not to do with
everyone
you.
Cough button.
In that sense, oh,
I'm quitting IRC. Hey, watch.
It won't go away. You can tell you and send that person a message in chat room, and if it beeps, you know it's them.
No, it's because it started when the chat room started going mental, because it went quiet after alpha versus beta, and then there was a huge spread until we got to calorie burn, and it's been going since we did calorie burn onwards.
The beep's gone.
And then you've got IRC running on maybe one of the machines. I don't know. I left the chat. So.
Okay.
And I still heard it.
And it stopped.
No.
It did stop.
The phantom
stopped.
It's the NSA listening in anyway. So.
No, it's back.
Nope,
it's
not Adam, right? It's back. I'm not in the chat. I'm not in the chat.
It's definitely Steve. Hang on.
Okay, I'm gonna get out. I'm gonna get
text
out.
Text rule here. He's gone. All right. So if that goes,
Apple listening in. Yeah.
It is Apple listening. I took the piss out of Tim over the Stevie concert, and that is it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's still there. Yeah. Steve's still there. So
what I noticed on the stream right before it started happening is the stream stuttered, and then it started happening. Just for a second. It paused just for a second, and then almost immediately following it, it started with you.
Oh, no! It stopped. So this... Hang on. Who knows?
How have we done hundreds of shows without this problem, and then it just surfaced last week?
A fudging beep. FCC gives permission for Apple to start testing 5G wireless technology. Well, they filed an application for it.
Are we streaming again?
Permission, yeah.
Is this the one that's going to provide...
I thought it was kind of interesting that they're giving them just 1 year window for doing the testing. So, I don't know. Probably the ship providers are... Oh, my echo went, huh?
Yeah, but not your... Not your sodding beep.
Anyway. Guys, that's Steve's pace...
That was like a squealy squealum.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Somebody oil the hamster wheel that's driving that machine.
If you're listening to this show and you want to leave a review about poor production quality, or you want to write me an email that says that you're sick and tired of the poor audio quality, don't, because I'll be round and stick a bat up your nightdress, because I'm sorry, I'm pissed off at this now. So, Steve, come on, you're making a sensible point about why... Shut up, you've only given a year. They've only given them a year to test it.
Yeah, apparently they get the period during which they can do the testing is just 1 year. Mm-hmm. And I would guess that, of course, the 5G testing from the people who are going to be supplying the actual radios for that capability, the chips, you know, it's probably gone on for the last couple of years. The sad thing about it is that there's really, you know, in most of the world, nowhere that anybody's going to be able to, really try this out. I keep waiting for it to beep. It's driving me crazy. Uh-huh. Except for apparently South Korea for the Winter Olympics next year, mm-hmm. will be totally up and running on 5G. So
is 5G doing nothing more than providing a speed update?
Well, it's a major speed update.
Yeah.
The thing you have to remember is 5G isn't even a standard yet. There is no official approved documentation or anything what 5G actually technically is. So what Apple is testing here is, well, a draft.
Its interpretation of the term 5G. Yeah.
Well, it's probably not Apple's interpretation. I'm pretty sure someone else is providing the hardware for it, and Apple is just using it for their next generation of iPhones, probably. iPhones and iPads.
Mm. I can edit the bleeps out, don't worry.
Yeah, right.
You could.
You won't.
iPhone 5 sales are flat in Q1, while China increases its global market share overall within the cell phone market. Worldwide phone sales were flat in the first quarter of 2017, according to Gartner, causing a year-on-year drop. And Apple's share of the growing smartphone market industry is boosted by the rise of top Chinese mobile manufacturers breaking out into neighboring markets. Is this the Apple killer? Or is this
it's guesswork.
This is everyone just waiting for an 8, surely.
A little bit of both.
Yeah. Gotta be. You're not telling me that people are sitting there going, God, I really need a Huawei.
Well, they are if they're on a budget.
Oh, wait till I get paid this month.
iPhone prices are basically oppressive.
Wait till this month and I'll buy an other.
Well, I just want to know, why is any product X, don't have to be Apple, any product X oppressive?
oppressive or impressive?
I said oppressive.
Oppressive. Why is it oppressive? Go on, tell us.
I don't know. I'm asking Adam.
He's asking me. I was just saying that flippantly.
Don't you know,
you have a choice. But actually, I mean, I say that flippantly, but that is the point. I mean, that is why Huawei or whatever it's called exists, right? It's because there's certain markets where they just, most people can't afford an iPhone. So here is a great alternative for those markets.
That's why Android.
They're going to make an impact. But it's really not. What?
The fact that a person can't afford a phone is not oppressive. A phone isn't healthcare or food or water.
You're reading
or
too much into
I think you're reading too much. It was a throwaway line designed to get you to do what you're doing now. So
no, I'm not doing anything because, again, as it has nothing to do with Apple. It has to do with especially people who can actually afford it. And I know a lot of SJW people who love to bring this comment up, and I say the same thing to them. A phone is not a right. It's not even a privilege. It's just you can or you can't. So that doesn't make it effective. If I'm blocking food or water or access to education or whatever, that's oppressive. That's the definition of oppression. But only social justice warriors that ever use that word are people with the American version of hashtag WP. So they like to use oppressive because it makes them feel good. But I'm like, that's the wrong choice of word. So that's why I was asking. It had nothing to do with taking a piss at Apple or anybody.
Okay. Paul Dixon in the chat room says we're all wrong. They're waiting for the Nokia 3310 instead.
Hey.
That's it.
We're all talking out of our asses.
3360 was the first one with flippable screens. Or changeable screens.
Now, let's see what I did here. Look, talking of Nokia. Apparently Nokia and Apple have put their stuff aside. And allegedly, now that they've put their stuff aside, they're going to cooperate.
Yay.
On what? Exactly. That's like the Frankenstein of cell phones or something. It scares the shit out of me.
Doesn't Nokia have some mapping patents and technologies that Apple has used?
Ovi. Didn't they? No, I think they sold the mapping part, but they still have patents for phone stuff.
To be fair, they gave it away.
True.
I went to the event where they gave it away, and the Ovi system was announced and launched. And they said, so how do people get, what's the licensing requirement? One of the questions from the journalist was, what's the licensing requirements for Ovi? And the guy that was the chief executive of Nokia said, there isn't any. Just use it. Go ahead. Okay. Have it. Take it.
Well, then it's just got to be the cell phone patent stuff.
Got to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't see them working together particularly. I mean, it's just other than they've worked out who the liabilities are going to be. Muller is desperate to see Withings bands on sale in Apple stores, but I think that's a forlorn hope.
Well, that's what they're doing, though.
They used to have those there.
Well, they're not going to get them.
Yeah, they did.
They're going to come back.
You used to have the Withings scales.
They're not going to have them back.
That was one of the things. It's the settlement. They're going to sell Nokia Health stuff in their shops.
Oh, so the band might go into...
It might. I would suggest it's going to be the Bain scanner, the blood pressure monitor rather than the watch. But
okay.
Yeah. I can't see the watch, but I can see other devices.
Okay. Fair enough. The iPhone SE. This is a great story. The iPhone SE tops customer satisfaction surveys. We all said we need a bigger screen, but everyone who bought an SE went, no, I'm quite happy with the SE. It's fine. 87%. The Galaxy S6 Edge was in second, and then the iPhone 7 Plus was in a remote third. What equals second?
Mm-hmm. How is this surprising? I mean, most people I know that bought the SE simply bought it because they loved their iPhone 5. They didn't want to upgrade to anything else. They simply wanted another iPhone 5. So they bought the SE. So, of course, they're happy. They're happy with nothing changing, basically.
Well, I also know, I know a lot of people who want an iPhone, and they want a good modern iPhone, but they don't want to drop $1,000 on a device.
Mm-hmm.
That's the point that Tretritus made there. That's really struck me as quite an interesting thing to think about, in that the tech market is set up for obsolescence and evolution, and yet actually, if you kept selling the same product, the chances are you might end up selling more because more people would want to keep where they are. So you send the same form factor, but just with a speed update, you're probably going to get more sales than if you sell a new form factor.
Mm-hmm. for a while.
Well, okay. Well, how old's the SE in comparison? I mean, the SE is the 5, isn't it, effectively?
Yeah, it's a 5 form factor with the 6, the 6 innards, right?
So the lesson is, stick the form factor the same as the 5 and just sell faster and faster innards, and people are going to be happy and still upgrade.
Yeah.
You might be onto something there, mate. You really might. But Apple is still shitting itself because they are loading for the Switch to Android. The Switch site has been revamped to try and stop people staying in the Android market and to promote them coming over to the iPhone market. Life is easier on iPhone, they tell everyone.
I can't. Yeah, it's kind of a reminder of the old, you know, Mac versus PC ads. You know, in a way, you know, here's how easy it is to switch over. You don't have the viruses. You don't have, you know, some of the issues. You don't have the crapware that you get on Android phone. You know, so a lot of things are so similar to that Mac versus PC campaign. And now all they need is ads.
Is there a bit of nonsensical nature to the Switch site? Because there might be a few people who'll come over, okay, fair enough. But generally speaking, if people are aware of the issues of Android over iPhone, they're probably on an iPhone anyway. And go back to Adam's point, the people that are on Android probably are on Android because they can't afford to buy an iPhone anyway. So it's kind of a locked portal to them regardless.
I'm not so sure about that part. I mean, it really depends on what customer type we're talking about. There are enough customers. I mean, we've talked about them on the Mac show a couple of times. There are enough customers that simply go into the next, whatever, Verizon store, just to pick an example, and they basically get whatever the guy whoever is selling there recommends or sells them. They don't care whether it's Android or iPhone, and I think Apple is maybe targeting those people to make them aware that there is another choice and another option, and make it as compelling and as easy for them to switch over. I mean, I think, was it 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, when they introduced the Switcher Android app? I think that's was already going into this direction, and with this campaign, they are now pushing it a little bit more.
Yeah, okay, maybe. I just think I just can't rationalize the fact that people who know better would do better, but
people who know better will not probably not switch anyway.
Yeah, but the people that are into Android are kind of like, they're either people who got sold it because they bought it as a sheep purchase, excuse the kind of phrase, or they're people who are anti Apple or pro Android to the point that they wouldn't swap anyway.
Yeah.
So I don't see the point of the Switch site. There you go. Oh, well, fair enough. Next story, Nike. I love this. Oh, I haven't put a picture in. Nike announces new Apple Watch bands with matching running shoes.
Oh,
God.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you know. You go out there and you go, I want to be a marathon runner, Dad, but I've got to have shoes that match me watch.
Well, that's the whole
thing.
Oh, you
would be surprised
watch,
how
right?
well that can work.
Paula Radcliffe, right, when she didn't win the London Marathon, or when she didn't win the Olympics, the reason she didn't win the Olympics was because her trainers didn't match her watch.
Apple Watch is a fashion item.
It's
a fashion accessory, and this plays right into that side of it, and it's working.
Oh, mate.
Yeah, it's like some people or women, women I know buy bags and shoes together. They have to match. So, I mean, this is basically the same thing just for when you're exercising.
There's a lot of me just wants to scream no at the top of my voice.
it completely sounds funny, but for my Red Label t-shirt brand, every time we release a shirt, we release it based on the fact that it has a matching hat. But we also, because we all follow the sneakerhead catalogs, So we might know that the ASICS 4 gel is coming out with, say, a turquoise blue with black spots colorway. So we'll make a shirt and hat that's also turquoise blue and black, because believe it or not, there's an entirely large part of the population that when you step out of the house, me included, hat, shirt, shoes are all the same color or closely related. That's just the way I was brought up. It's, you know, my hood upbringing. I came to the island. Island people here do it too. I still do it to this very day. I am wearing red Manchester United Adidas right now, and it's 4 o'clock in the morning. Y'all can't even see my feet.
That is kind of sad, though, as well.
It just happens. It's automatic. It's just, you know, there's people that will wear the same shirt for 3 days with holes in it, and that's their version of comfort. My version of comfort is you got to look at least pulling an 8 before you roll out the house or don't leave the house. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you see, you're a celebrity DJ, Doc, and it's important to the three girls who came back with you from the nightclub last night who were sleeping under your desk at the moment.
Even prior to that, I mean, if you see little kids here, it would blow your mind. Like, and I think about it because originally when I was a kid, we had white Buster Browns, brown Buster Browns, or black Buster Browns, you know, the big, thick baby clompers.
Yeah.
Right now, I have friends that are literally buying $60, $70 baby Jordans that you're going to buy another pair in exactly 2 weeks because those ones won't fit anymore. And these kids have 5 and 6 pairs of matching Jordans. Like, it's a thing. Like, it's kind of crazy, but it's a thing.
Yeah. Muller's dissing you because he says they're not returning of their own free will after a night out. They're locked in your basement permanently.
Damn it, that's the second Cosby joke I got in 2 days.
What, who was that German lad who had someone locked up in his basement for Friedling or...
Patrice.
No, it wasn't Patrice.
No.
No, because I don't watch
too. I wouldn't be here.
I can't remember his name. What was his name? There was a German bloke, wasn't he? Had his daughter locked up for 28 years or something in the basement.
He was Austrian.
Was he Austrian? Yeah. Oh, that's even worse then. No.
Okay.
I'll look it up for you.
I apologise to the German people for saying that he was German when he wasn't. He was Austrian. Apple sees notebook sales increase year on year. I was quite surprised at this because I thought that they would be stabilised perhaps in a slightly down market anyway. And a lot of people have railed against the touch bar and the new keyboard on the new MacBook Pros, which I actually do quite like. But notebook shipments have increased. Is it the MacBooks or is it the MacBook Pros that have carried the...
It's the MacBook Pro. Everybody was waiting and waiting and waiting and then it finally brought it out and then...
Shaboom.
They bought them, and even Apple said it was good. And you know what? That dang beep starts when I start talking. Just thought I'd mention
that. No, I've been paying very close attention, and everyone over the last 5 minutes has had it beep at some point while talking.
It's not you, mate. Don't worry. We're only taking the piss. We don't really hate you because you beep all the time.
I Googled a bunch of stuff.
Anyway.
Oh, right.
The number of people claiming it to be government spies is crazy.
Joseph Fritz.
So back to the MacBook thing, though. I think it is the MacBook Pro, and I think it's just a result of there were a ton of people that were waiting just for any new machine to come out, and it didn't matter what it was going to be. Once Apple released it, people were going to buy it, and that's what happened. I don't think it's anything more than that.
But now here's the interesting thing. So we've got Rob, who's in the chat room normally, GB Redneck. He's on his second unit for MacBook Pro, and he is close to saying, do you know what, stuff it, I'm going to buy a Dell, because he's just had enough. He's had two new logic boards, and he's had a new keypad in the new one. The second version one is still crapped out, and he's still persevering with it, but he's at the point where I just want to get rid of it. I'm like, well, I hear what you're saying, Rob, and I don't disbelieve you, but that's not what I'm hearing from other people. What I'm hearing from other people is that people that have this machine fudging love it. I don't know anyone that hates it apart from Rob. Not one.
Yeah,
it's a great machine. To me.
Everybody that I've heard exactly the same thing from everybody who has one. And so I wasn't trying to imply that, you know, it's not a good machine. I'm just saying.
It is a great machine. I've got one person out of everyone I know who says it's not. Is that typical for everyone else?
I've talked to people who said, oh, I'm never going to use the track bar, the touch bar.
Touch bar.
And they're saying they're using it more than they anticipated, and they actually think it's a worthwhile addition to the machine. Mm-hmm. So.
I'm never using the touch bar, but I want one on the inside of me coffin, all right?
Why?
Oh, mate. Okay, moving on. Thanks, mate.
It went over my head. I'm sorry.
Okay. Would you like to win a Spider 5 Express? We've got three of these to give away over the next 3 months. We'll be running the first one for the next 4 weeks. All you've got to do is send us an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com or britishtechnews@gmail.com. Make sure you title it Spider Competition or something similar. And all you've got to do is answer a very simple question. What are the three primary colours on computer screens? There you go. So this thing will calibrate your screen. It is absolutely brilliant. I love it as a device because it gives you the very basic level straight away. And if you want the super shebang level, you've only got to pay extra for the more features on the software because the unit that comes with it will do all of it. It's just based on the software level that you pay for. It's a brilliant, brilliant device. I have one that I calibrate my screens with and I absolutely adore it. I used to have a Colour Monkey Smile and I wouldn't go back. This one is absolutely superb. So Spider 5 Express, all you've got to do is tell me an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com and tell me what are the three primary colours of a computer screen. There you go. Send that in and we will give you, put you into a draw and you could win one of these. And if you miss out this month, it doesn't matter because we've got another one next month. And if you miss out then, it doesn't matter because we've got another one the month after. They've given us three of these. So well done to Datacolor. Nice. Thank you very much for supporting us. Wow. And please support
Can I propose an alternate / bonus question?
Oh, go on then.
How do you stop horrible chirping sounds during Skype calls?
I don't think it's Skype either, but the only consistency is it's happened on the Mac show. It's not happened on the Big Show ever. And the only other two consistencies are Steve and Adam. We haven't had an Adam.
So maybe I need to come on the Big Show and then
we got
Steve needs to come on the Big Show.
We've got a spare slot tonight.
But separately, and then we can figure it out.
You want to come on the Big Show tonight? There's a spare slot. And if you bring the beat with you, you can piss off. so at least that would eliminate the Steve versus Adam issue of the beep. So there we go. Muller's answered the question. He says it's black, white, and Umamu. Close. That's the closest answer so far, anyway. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. You've got to support them because they support us. We love them to bits. Please, 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 if you want to buy anything for the internet, the web, the online services, servers, VPS, VPN, co-location services, domain names, you name it, they've got it. Go to britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors and you'll get a whole pile of offer codes which you can get off your basket. And if you, Bet Sterper sent me a contact request for the line that he's already on anyway.
That was an hour and a half ago.
Well, that's good. That's good.
That's Skype.
That's great for Skype. That's pretty good, mate. You're lucky I got it this week.
That's what that chirping is. It's trying to tell you you're behind in your chat messages.
Uh-huh. Please support. No, it's not. Please support UK2. Because they've supported us now for the last 9 years, and they're going to support us for another 9 years. Yeah. Actually, the one thing you've got to realise is the only reason this shit's on the air is because of UK2, because we couldn't afford the bandwidth otherwise. Thanks, guys. We love you. Uniku is coming. I'm going down next month to get myself measured and film it and all that kind of stuff. Oh, I can't wait. I cannot wait to get a new pair of glasses. It's going to be superb. I went to the show, Opticom show at the NEC, and I picked out the frames I want, and I absolutely adore them. Mark measured me up and then fitted some frames. He didn't fit the ones I picked, though. He fitted ones that were slightly different. But that's me wearing my virtual frames. Uniku is brilliant because it sets the lens in the correct location. Then it deliberately prints the frames around where the lenses should be. So when you get the lenses, when you get the frames back, they are specifically set up for your face fit, no one else's. And the lenses will be in exactly the right position for your vision. And it is unique to the point that your initials are etched into the frames. It's that good. Uniku is coming to Hoya. If you'd like to check out Hoya, then send an email to podcast@hoya.co.uk and ask them whether you can get measured for Uniku or for the other lenses that Muller and I have both got. There they are. They're superb, the Avantex. They're absolutely gorgeous. Those are Muller's top loaders. And I've got a set as well, which I'm wearing right now, and they're awesome. Awesome. And I think Mark might be coming to the bash as well, so you can come and say hello to Mark from Hoya as well as. Please support them, and again, send them an email, send them a message, and go to your local opticians and go, excuse me, do you do Hoya lenses? And if they go no, just go, that's a shame, and walk out. That's all you got to do. Superb. Right, it's time for the cool thing. Start us off, Doc.
Okay, so
I have been searching
for new things to watch, like, late at night when I'm trying to turn my brain off and, like, slow it down. And then recently, just because of some, you know, sickness in the family, Karen's just been every other day at her parents' house taking care of her dad. So, like, I actually get control of the remote, and I don't have to watch any stupid reality shows or Kardashian crap. So there's a bunch of rating engines out there, and all of them seem to leave a little bit left to be desired until I found this really cool app. It's called Letterboxd. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this, but it allows you to, in the beginning, it just shows you a bunch of, like, movie tiles, all of, what is that thing called on Apple? Coverflow. And you just, you know, rate them 0 to 5. You know, you fill out as many as you want, and then it starts to feed you recommendations, and it's really, really cool. It does have a social aspect to it, so you can, like, share things. They'll provide you with lists, and some of the lists will be like, you know, here are a bunch of the Kubrick-esque type films. I like the Kubrick. The Kubrick was cool, except for the crappy WordPress theme. But, in general, his films are cool. So you can go down, like, a Kubrick rabbit hole and just check out all of these films where Brett developed the film about Ashtanga yoga in a Kubrick style, whatever. I could find that and watch it, and it's been, so far it's been good, finding a really cool avant-garde stuff, and it's a great recommendation engine for the cinema or, you know, TV file type cats. So I like it. And Letterboxd is free, I believe. Hold on, let me find the site. I had it, I pulled it up, and then I moved away from the screen. But anyway, you can look it up, Letterbox with an ED.
Cool.
Wait, is it with an ED or is it letter B-O-X?
I'm sorry, is letter B-O-X-D. Thank you, Brett, the web 2.0 crap. It's Letterbox with no E, no second E, third E. Dang, I can't speak English. Here, I'll just text it to you. Jeez, I'm cramming. 6 in the morning, boys.
Just to get in the chat room, man.
And there's no whiskey in this coffee.
The chat room's not the source of the beep, so you can go in there safely. Don't worry about it. Good pick, mate. Thank you very much. Adam, what have you got for us?
I'm going to give you another little coding tool. I'm digging deep and going nerdy again today. And this came up because I remembered, I use this frequently, but I was working on something this past week, and I really needed this tool. And it's an app called Expressions. And what you use it for is doing regular expressions. And for somebody who doesn't know what that is, that's a way when you're coding, if you need to extract out or find sections of text, basically it's searches. You're doing text-based searches with wildcards and different meta characters and substitution characters to try and pinpoint or find sections of text that you may need to find and replace. So they're really complex search strings. They make my brain hurt very often, and it's hard to remember all the different syntax and things like that, and Expressions helps you with that. So you basically have two panels. You have the sort of query string that you're building with all your wildcards and things like that, and then you have the string that you're actually searching, and you put those two things in, and then you can tweak, and it will dynamically and in real time show you what's matching or not matching so that you can quickly craft and figure out what the string is. And it has a nice little handy key on the side, so if you can't remember, oh, what's that, what's the, you know, the or operator or the and operator that I need, it's right there and handy. So again, it's super geeky, probably limited to just a few people. And the way you would have to do this in the past is there's a lot of great online, like, web tools for doing this. But I like having a native app that's just right there that I have quick access to. And part of the reason I'm using this one, too, to be honest, is it's part of, and we've mentioned this as a pick many times, it's part of the Set app. So I had it there and available to me when I needed it. But it's really great. It saves me having to remember, oh, what was that website I was doing regular expression testing against. It's just right there on my Mac. So handy little tool if you're a coder and you're dealing with regular expressions.
I can second that one. I mean, I've used it quite a lot, and it's great.
Have you guys tried Oyster or Patterns or Regex RX?
Nope.
Oyster is what I use.
I won't drag this out, but Regex RX is old. I think it's Java based, but it runs on Mac. It works super well, and it can copy any regex in just about any code, any language. So you could say copy this as Python, and it would modify mm-hmm. your string to be able to paste right into a Python script.
That's cool.
That's cool. Do you remember Regex?
Yeah, again, a big reason this one is there, again, is because I have the Set app thing, and it's part of that tool set. So just another sort of bonus pick for Set app. You know, again, it's well worth the, you know, $10 a month, because there's apps in here that I just, you know, I don't have to use a Regex editor or checker all that frequently, but when I do, it's nice to have that in the toolbox and just there and available.
Man, I would love to have those guys on the show one time, because I am finding some really cool stuff, and they're forever adding stuff. So they just recently added DropShare and Numi, and both mm-hmm. of those are also amazing. It's just SetApp is the coolest idea since sliced bread.
Yeah.
Martin in the chat room says, hi, Doc. Great result last night. Another treble season. But you guys can take that offline, because Doc's not in the chat room, I don't think. So, Martin, you're on your own there, mate. Steve-O, what have you got for us, man?
Well, I actually don't have it, but I thought I'd bring up a new little drone that came out yesterday, and that's the DJI Spark. As you know, I got one of these, and I love this little guy. This is the Hover Camera Passport. But DJI just jumped into the competition yesterday with the Spark. It's also a small, kind of mini drone. What they're looking at is using a lot of their technologies that they built for the larger size drones, but bringing it down to a size that doesn't intimidate a lot of people. It'll be interesting to see one in person there. I've been really happy with the Hover Camera Passport. Surprised at sometimes how just intelligent it is. For instance, doing one of the big circle shots, if there's anything in the way, it'll automatically just climb up over it, and I'm sure the Spark will do the same. If they end up having the Spark in Apple stores, it'll mean you've got two little mini drones that you can use to take dronies and you know, that you can pick up at your Apple store. I think they're running $4.99, so looked pretty interesting. Like I said, it'll be interesting just to take a look at one and see how it works.
And if you'd like one for the UK, do bear in mind that it's illegal not to be able to control it directly. You have to buy it.
Really?
Yeah, no, you can't. You've got to have a controller for it. The hand gesture thing is bollocks. Anyone that says that they can have it and they can just control it with hand gestures, the CIA are going to come down on you a ton of bricks if they catch you flying it near an airport or anything where they can get hold of you. So you need to buy the controller version in the UK if you want to buy it. Don't listen to anyone else.
Yeah, the Spark does come with the little controller, so
the hand gesture only version at $5.99 has got prosecute me all over it.
Does the base model one out of the box support the app control, and would that qualify?
You can use your iPhone to control it, can't you? But the I don't know whether you would say that was a secure link and a qualified link that would work for distance. I think you might find yourself in a lot of trouble with that. A dedicated controller. It's supposed to be a dedicated controller. Because if your iPhone kicks into screen save mode when it kicks off, then they aren't going to be happy with that.
Yeah, it's weird. In the U.S., it kind of went the opposite way. We had a federal judge who threw out the FAA's requirement for people to register recreational drones. So
right,
they're kind of up in the air on that right now.
As far as I understand it, the FAA aren't a lot different from the CAA. The difference is that you lot don't give a f- That's the big issue. But over here, yeah, if you fly it without direct line of sight or without a control of it, and you try and control the camera separately from the drone, you're in liability for a prosecution, plain and simple. Brett.
All right. Mine is also a SetApp app, which I had planned before everyone started gushing over SetApp, but I do agree.
Go for it. SetApps is great. I mean, there's 105 applications now or something you can pick from there?
Including one that makes me money, so go get SetApp. Screens 4 has Screens, the VNC client, has been updated, and it now can do everything that one would normally use, like Apple's remote desktop for, and it is fast. And I have a couple of headless minis, one locally and one in Las Vegas. And
these... That's a bit random.
Sure. But, you know,
is it just Mac all it's doing? You've got a headless Mac Mini in Las Vegas that does nothing but send you time lapse of the strip or something because it helps you relax at night.
How'd you know?
Man, that's
you hack into my stream. No privacy. If I use Apple's like remote connection, the lag time is significant, and I just learned to accept that. But with the latest version of Screens, it is super sharp and super fast and super responsive, and it adds like touch bar support and curtain mode, so you can blank the screen on a remote and Mac while you're controlling it, and you can do drag and drop file transfers now from your desktop to a remote desktop, which Apple's had for a while, but that's awesome to have elsewhere. So Screens 4 in SetApp and available directly, but get SetApp.
Cool. Good one, like that. SetApp, there's tons of stuff we can get with SetApp. It's a good application, set of applications, package. Patrice, what have you got for us, mate?
I've got something that is one, free, and that is two, part of the Google toolbox. It's Google Slides. Usually in the office, we use Office, and preferably I use usually Keynote. But recently I needed something to collaborate on a presentation on. And I thought, hey, why not give Google Slides a try? I've never really used it. I usually just use Google Docs, which is good for, texts and stuff like that. But Google Slides I never have used. So I tried it, and it's actually pretty good. I mean, does it have all the bells and whistles of Keynote? Definitely not. But for company presentations, the presentations we usually see or I see in our company are horrible. So whatever you can do to improve that is better than nothing. And Google Slides has quite a lot of nice features, good templates. And the best part is it's free and it's easy to use. And I was basically sitting at my desk, watching my assistant work on the presentation, and I could see basically step by step what she was changing and the things appearing and so on. So it was really, really great, and it was instant. So reliable, instant, free. What else can you want?
Is it still shit?
No, it's actually good. That's the point.
Amazing.
No,
it's amazing. That's the point. I was expecting it to be shit.
Oh, good man. Okay, that's it. I've been to a few German PowerPoint presentations in my time, it has to be said. And at the end, they always, always, always say thank you for listening. And after about the third or fourth one that I was in, I realised why they say thank you, because it's fudging turgid.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
That's why I never do that.
Good pick, mate. Stick us a link in the chat room. There's a good fella.
Yeah.
And cause more bleeping, why don't you? Michael, have I done everyone else?
Yes.
My cool thing, I've got a bit of a problem at the moment because I can't remember what I've picked in recent weeks for cool things. So I may have picked this on the Mac show, but I don't think I have. It is on Amazon. It is the Best Tech 8-Way Surge Protected Tower Extension Lead Socket Plug with 6.5 volt 8 amp USB power strip.
Jesus.
And I've abbreviated it. this thing is brilliant. It's a little tower. Does what it says on the tin. It's got 8 13 amp sockets on it, which have got independent switches for the 2-4 rings on the top and the bottom. It's also got 6 2 amp outputs for USB devices, and you plug it in. When I go away for like a week doing filming, I've got to take so many chargers with me and recharge stuff constantly. The Ecto Technology batteries that I've got, they take forever to charge, and I've got to leave them on overnight. With this thing, it's great. I just take some USB stuff with me, take a couple of the chargers. One of these fits into the hotel socket. It's actually fairly small. It stands about as tall as a pint glass, and it's about 5 inches across in diameter. And it's absolutely brilliant. Can't recommend it highly enough. 35 quid, so it's not the cheapest of things, but it's awesome. The only watch out you've got to look for is there's 6 USB ports. If you plug 6 2 amp devices into each USB port, they just sit and flash. They're like, whoa, 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 no one said you should use this all at once, Jesus. Which I find a bit silly, but there we go. That's it. It's superb. It is the Best Tech 8-Way Surge Protected Tower Extension Lead Socket Plug with 6 port 5 volt 8 amp USB power strip. And I've just put Doc's link back in again. What have I done that for? That was correct. It was me. There we go. There's mine. Excellent, chaps. Where can we get a hold of you? Doc.
You can find me all over the interwebs at DOCROCK and on this lovely network whenever Ewan decides to make me wake up at Old Dark 30.
Mate, we love you to bits. We love the fact that you're here, and we mourn the fact when you're not here.
Thank you.
Yeah, because it means we take the piss out of Patrice more than you.
Of course.
Oh, mate, I was saying before we started, we got a few emails about taking the piss out of Americans and capital cities the other week when we tested you on Paris. No, Paris.
Dude, the funny thing is, I normally would take the piss out of somebody else for not knowing that, but I guess you just caught me in a half awake or half retarded or still partially medicated.
No, it was a general comment
medicated.
That I made about Americans and capital cities that got me in trouble, but I don't think we have them listening anymore, though, now. I told them all to piss off. Adam, where are you, mate?
You can find me at maccast.com or maccast on iTunes, and almost every week on the iOS show at theiosshow.com, and then maccast on all the social medias.
Yep. If you're thinking about writing in about the bleep this week, you're going to get no truck with me, mate. Move along. I'm sick of it, so it's not happening. Steve, where are you, mate?
You can find me at appleworld.today, and I'm also over at blog.maxsales.com.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Who's next? It's Brett.
Oh.
My younger brother.
I'm at brettterpstra.com. I'm TTScoff everywhere, and you can find a couple of my podcasts at esn.fm.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much for coming along and bringing that beat with you, because it's a different beat from when Sandy was here before.
Oh, sure.
And last but by no means least, Patrice.
Well, I'm here on the Mac Show every week, soon at the Bash, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Only just over a month to go.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. It was, so much fun last year. And basically, the day I left, I said, okay, it's less than a year, then I will be back.
Yeah, no, it's less than a year to come back. And there's going to be quite a few people at dance competitions, so we'll have more room in the garden for hungry hippos and other things.
He don't have any real friends other than rentable dogs.
Hey? Patrice.
That's not true.
Is that the show title, Patrice Rents Dogs?
Yeah,
I don't pay for the dogs, so they're not rented.
I'm trying to
find... Whatever, bro.
We had a really vicious email the other week about... Because someone mentioned something about the... Who was the bloke who... which one of you talked about the bloke who was elected to the Treasury or something?
That sounds like something I would talk about.
Was it you? The twit who felt the need to criticise the appointment of the Secretary of the Treasury.
I don't recall this.
No, no. The twit who failed to mention the criticise the appointment of the Secretary of the Treasury never felt the urge to mention former President Obama's accumulation of $400 million in speaking fees to Wall Street, which I think he may have a dot in the wrong place there.
It was 400,000.
In less than 6 months.
It was 400,000.
Yeah. When he doubled the national debt in 8 years. Basically, we had a Trump support listener and he got upset, so I told him to piss off. So
yeah, also he didn't, so.
He got majorly pissed off.
Ewan, I'm going to send you a new 9-volt for the fire alarm.
It's not me! It's not me, because I'm the only one that it hasn't. No, because I've done the big show without the bleeping, yeah. So it's not me. You haven't. You've got to do the big show tonight, and if it's not you, then it's Sandy, and Sandy's never coming back on.
No!
Until he sorts his sodding bleep out.
Oh, God.
My name's Ewan Rankin. Right, you can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. We'll be back again in 2 weeks, okay? There won't be a Mac show next week because I've got other things to do. But the week after, we'll be back on Friday as normal because we've moved to Thursday. That's going to catch a few people. I'm going to get loads of texts tomorrow. See you all in 2 weeks on Friday for the next Mac show. I think we're going to try and do a keynote. It depends. I might be at the London Mac User Group. I might not. It depends what time my meeting's finished. If I can get the earlier train, then I will. But we're going to try and do a keynote coverage. You guys up for a keynote coverage?
Yes.
Take the piss out of Tim. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Good. Excellent.
Actually, we're going to be doing some. Well, it depends on what time it is.
I wasn't asking. I wasn't doing everything.
But, well,
we're doing the keynote, doing and I wasn't asking you anyway, Steve. You're not bringing your bleep to a keynote coverage.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, did you just scratch your nose like that to me? You just scratched your nose like that to me.
I'm sorry.
Oh, all right. That's fighting to where I come from.
Well, I hear you're, you know, planning on throwing me under the bus.
You better pray those passes stay snowed up all summer, mate. See you in a couple of weeks. Thanks for listening. Don't forget the competition as well. Competition. Yeah.